But for this morning, I feel like it would be right for us to turn, if you would please, in your Bible to Jeremiah's prophecy, Jeremiah chapter 5. I want to minister to the people who are here and try to help you and deal with subject matter as I feel that God has placed in my heart and I've tried to study and get ready for in the preaching of the Word of God. I didn't plan on saying this, but I feel like maybe I ought to kind of try to lead up to what I'm about to deal with, what I'm about to preach, because it is such an extremely important subject. I don't have the ability to highlight and underline and write in boxcar letters how important, how needed this subject is that I want to deal with this evening, because all of the battle that you and I are having today is not just with the physical, and it's not just with the mental, but the greatest area of battle in our day is in the spiritual realm. There's an ongoing battle in the spiritual realm. And I'll be honest with you, when God saved me, when He converted me better than 45 years ago, I really did not understand to the fullest. Now, I'd heard some talk about it, but I really didn't understand that I was getting in the army, that I was joining a militia, and that I had a very serious, determined, and deadly enemy that I'm going to have to fight against. And I've met him on several occasions. I remember back when I was going to school, I had to deal with some bullies at times. I was kind of a runt. And if some guy came along and he figured he could take me, you know, he'd want to pick on me and the like. I had to deal with bullies. And that's rough. But, you know, some of those bullies I was a bit afraid of. And then I saw them later on in life, and I realized I'm as big as they are. And I can probably take them now, but now I can't fight them because I'm a Christian, you know. So I don't want my name on the front page of the paper that the pastor of Welcome All Baptist Church has gotten a brawl. But even more than that, there was one guy in particular. I've seen him a few times since, and I've thought about how that he tried to pick on me back yonder years ago. And this is what I thought, Brother Mark. I thought, I'm not afraid of him anymore. I'm not afraid of him, and I'm not afraid of many of the other bullies that I had to deal with. And one reason is because I have met face to face with the greatest bully, the greatest enemy that anybody could ever encounter. And it's the devil himself. It's the wicked one. Maybe not him in particular face to face, but some of his cohorts, some of his fellows on his team, the demons and the like, and some of the people who are demon influenced, if not possibly even demon possessed. And we've had to meet with them and deal with them and fight with them. And I have received, and you have, if you've been saved for any length of time at all, You have experienced the cuts and the bruises. You know what it is to get the daylights beat out of you, just to be honest, to be hammered by the fist of the enemy, the wicked one. And let me say to you, friends, whether you believe it or not, whether you'll have it or not, right here in this pulpit is one of the greatest places where I have to fight the devil. And I mean fight him almost one-on-one, because he opposes truth. He fights against the Word of God. He knows that this is where the power of God is demonstrated. You and I receive the power of God in the prayer closet, alone with God. We'll try to deal with that, Lord willing, in the evening hour. But friend, here is where that power is to be put on display. We need God's Word spoken in power. We need it to come to us not just as just kind of some kind of simple devotion that we go through the form of here in the pulpit, but we need for God to anoint this book, to anoint the Word so it can penetrate our hard and stubborn hearts. in our minds, our preconceived ideas that for the most part may be nothing but myths and fantasies. We need to be confronted with reality. And we are certainly, we experience that as we are confronted with the Word of God. So needless to say, as I preach, I need your prayers. Because the enemy is going to fight against it. He'll fight tooth and nail. He will use every available instrument and weapon in his arsenal. And he'll do all that he can. And that's another area where he fights me. Is this old man has got an old brain. And so I have a hard time sometimes trying to express myself. But if God will take what little bit of me there is today and use it to glorify Himself and to get the Word of God through to us, then it will be worth the battle. It will be worth the effort. We're fighting for souls. We're fighting for people who are going to spend eternity one day in heaven or hell one. This world in which we now live is just a preparation place. This is a time to get ready for that real world where every one of us are finally going to wind up in that the old timers used to call the hereafter. There is the sweet by and by if you're a child of God that one day we will enter into. But right now, it's the nasty now and now. I mean, these are tough days. And we are fighting a foe that has muscles like you and I could not begin to imagine. And I want to tell you, we are fighting an enemy that has no conscience. He has no conscience. We are fighting an enemy that is full of hate. The devil is full of hate. He has no ability. There is no capacity for him to have an ounce of love for anyone. He can't have it. He is an enemy who delights in the slaughter. He's worse than a George Patton who stood out on a battlefield many years ago and somebody saw a tear in his eye as he looked across the battlefield. You know what he said? He said, "God help me, but I love it. I love it." He loved war. He loved fighting. And friends, we have an enemy today who loves to corner us. He loves to get at us and to destroy us. He will work his great works of wickedness, and he will do whatever he can to bombard and destroy and to crush every single one of us. And it's only the grace of God and the power of God that's kept him from doing it. Sister Joanne, he'll do it with a smile. He'll crush us with a devilish grin and with a hearty belly laugh. He has destroyed church after church, home after home, life after life. The devil delights in just such antics and such a determination that he has. There's nothing he loves better. So we're up against him. And before I read our scripture and deal with a particular subject that I feel that God wants me to deal with, let me tell you right quickly a little story. And it's a true story. I have a preacher friend in North Carolina. And he pastored his church for 50 years. I'm not talking about William Hancock. You know William Hancock, but you probably don't know this particular preacher. Maybe one or two of you would. But he pastored his church for 50 years. And I've heard the history of this man of God. I've met him. He's been my friend now for a number of years. But I've heard the history of him. How that when he would preach, the power of God would rest on him. Brother William Hancock My friend, you do know him. He's been here and preached a number of times, and you know that he preaches with the power of God on him. I want to tell you, you may deny what a man preaches from the pulpit, but you cannot deny when the power of God's on that man. It speaks loud and clear, Brother Barney. And this man, Brother William, has told me about the man's preaching and the power of God that's rested on him. And I heard him last year preach in his elderly age, and he still had the touch of God mighty on him. I was amazed, and I sit there with my mouth open while the man preached the truth of God. Preaching and pastoring Brother Larry in that church for 50 years. And don't you know, in 50 years he met the devil eyeball to eyeball time and again. It wasn't smooth sailing for him. It can't be if you stand upon the Word of God as a preacher and as a layman. Whoever you are, if you are indeed a child of God, if you stand with that book, why in the world have you and I suddenly got it in our minds that we can do that and still live on Easy Street? We can't do it. We are not lazy boy people. God did not create us for a recliner. Jesus Himself gave us the example when He told Mary and Joseph, "What you not? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" "Yeah, but you're just 12 years old." "Well, if you're 12 years old and you know God, you got a work to do. And the devil ain't going to stand by, Brother Charles, and watch you do it without hindering you. He'll fight you. Some way, some form, some fashion, he'll come against you." This man preached the truth of God for 50 years in that church. Last year, they had a 50-year celebration for him. And they honored him for the 50 years of service. But that was also to be his last service as the pastor, because of his feebleness. Feeble physically, feeble mentally. But even in the condition he's in, God knows I love to be around him because he's got such a sweet spirit about him. This was last year they had the celebration. I got a note from him last week from his family. And they asked me, "Pastor McElroy, pray for us." Said, "The church has slowly turned away from the truth." And said, we have had to leave the church. We can't stay. And it broke my heart as I thought about 50 years of hearing the truth of God. And now they've come to a place where they don't want to hear it no more. That's sad, Brother Ronnie. That's heartbreaking. But you know, that spirit is in the atmosphere of our churches in this day. There's such a drifting, such a moving away from the truth of God. Do you know why? Because the devil will give you a religion that's a lot easier. There's not so much contention and not so much fighting. It's more smooth sailing, not so much choppy waters. And so the devil has fixed this incurably religious generation up with something that they can love and enjoy and feel comfortable in and still say, "I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Gotten off on the wrong page. And you know who's really going to suffer? You know who is really going to suffer with this? Our young people, our children, our grandchildren. Because that is what they are being exposed to now. You and I have seen the power of God. We've seen days gone by where the saints of God were greatly moved by the Holy Ghost during the preaching of the Word or during the singing of the hymns. And the old time saints of God would worship God and praise God and shout the victory. But now we've come to a day and time to where the only time that church people can get excited at all is when they're at a ball game or they're watching some other kind of sporting event. And people lose their breath at places like that. And they get out on the edge of their seat at places like that. And they get all caught up in at places like that. And their emotions run wild at places like that. But then we come to the house of God. And we want to recline. We want to be at ease. And we don't want that man to open that book to any section in that book and cross us. We don't want that. And so, we've got a lot of enemy in pulpits who are giving people what they want. And for that reason, that man has to sit here on the pew, and this man has to sit on the pew instead of out pastoring because somebody else is occupying a pulpit, in all honesty, who hadn't got no business there. Because people are calling men who will not be so hard on them. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad these men are here. They're helpers. And I don't know what I'd have done without you fellas, and I mean that. And other men that we have as well. But I'm telling you folks, we're up against it in our day. And it broke my heart. As I heard about this pastor who had preached for 50 years and the people, after he come out, they slowly but surely began to turn away from 50 years, much of 50 years of the truth of God. Because truth as it is declared by the Holy Ghost in the Holy Scriptures still taste lousy to the unconverted tongue. Yeah, you can have what you want. As that old half-breed Cherokee Indian used to say when he is preaching, can't even think of his name right now, Ed Ballou. I heard him preach. Boy, he is in a church over in Alabama and they're fighting tooth and nail. I mean, they was upset. Yeah, I think they had the Hatfields on one side and the McCoys on the other. And they was raising their shotguns. They was getting with it. And that old Indian preacher stood in the pulpit and he looked at that crowd. He said, I'm preaching today on you can have what you want, but you'll lose what you got. But I'm telling you, he rung some bells that night. Amen. You know, it's a sad situation when a world says, I want this. When God has says, I don't want you to have that. But they say, this is what I want. And God would then say to them, well, you can have what you want. But you'll lose what you got. God has given me some things that I've had to fight to get. But he has given them to me. And the reason I had to fight to get and to keep them is because I had to fight to get them. I had to fight my own flesh. My flesh is depraved. And I had to fight to keep them because I had to fight the enemy, the outward enemy in the spiritual realm to keep. But since it was so hard fought for, I'd be a fool. Right here in the last turn of my journey, I'm nearing the shore, friends. I'd be a fool to give it all up now. I'm afraid it'd cost me. It'd cost me a whole lot more than I'm willing to pay. You ready for the Scripture? Sometimes we read the Scripture at the end of our message, I guess. But I can't help it. I told God before I come to the pulpit, I'd obey Him. And I will say whatever He wants me to say the way He would have me to say it. Here's the scripture. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 5. We began reading with verse 20 and read through verse 26. God tells Jeremiah, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people. Now that's enough right there to get somebody's hair up on the back of their neck. O foolish people. See, people don't like to be talked to like that. That's offensive language. It's extremely offensive to stand. Listen, do you remember John the Baptist and the kind of preaching he did? You know what he called them? Generation of vipers. Bunch of snakes. Man, that's pretty tough, isn't it? I tell you, folks, if you can't take my preaching, there ain't no way in the world you could take John the Baptist preaching and Jeremiah's. Oh, foolish people. Who likes to be called foolish? But I'm going to tell you something, friends. If God says you're foolish, you're foolish. If God says I'm foolish, I'm foolish. Sometimes we have to be offended just to wake us up so that we'll hear God's remedy for our foolishness. Verse 21, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. People fear everybody but God. They fear everything but God. Have you noticed that our generation seems to have no fear of God before their eyes? None whatsoever. They'll say anything. They'll do anything. They'll sit and entertain any kind of thoughts. I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm not a mind reader. It's hard enough just hearing what people have to say and seeing what people are doing. Romans 3, they have no fear of God before their eyes. I don't know what they meant by it when they came out with a bumper sticker, no fear. I don't know what they meant by that. But that is the spirit and attitude that people have toward God. No fear. And when you preach the truth of God to our generation, many people, they can take it or leave it. They pay no attention to it. Many people. There are very few people that the truth of God seems to sober in our day. Very few people who take it serious. But I'm convinced that the truth of God, this word, we're going to meet it again at the judgment. And I'm convinced that whatever God sends to us, it's not for you and I to vote on. And it's never served up smorgasbord where you can pick and choose what you want and leave the rest. That's just not the way God operates. Our generation has got the mindset today that that's the way God operates. Just as long as you're religious, it don't matter. Verse 22 again. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss him, look at the power of God. Look at the omnipotence and the sovereignty of God, how He controls the seas. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? God will allow it to go just so far and won't let it go any further. Got to stay within its bounds, lest God's going to use it to judge somebody. But he said in verse 23, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. The southern kingdom of Judah, the northern kingdom of Israel, they've already gotten in a mess back at this time. They've already shown themselves wicked and vile. And God says, we'll carry them away into Assyrian captivity. And they'll pay for their sins. There are consequences to rebelling against God. And here's the southern kingdom about 130, 133 years later. She hadn't learned from the northern kingdom's mistakes and sins. She figures, well, that happened to them, but it's not going to happen to us. And so what does the southern kingdom of Judah do? They progress in their sins. God says, you're not afraid of me? And you already seen what I'll do to the wicked? And haven't you seen and observed how I control the sea? If I can control the seas of the world that covers, what is it, two-thirds or three-fourths of the surface of the earth? And God said, every bit of it is under my control. Don't you think I can handle you? He said, I can and I will. But he said, you continue in your rebelling and you're revolting. Verse 24, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in His season. Look how good He's been to us. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And so God says, look around and look in the past. Look at the history of how I have worked with men. And they who have been in their rebellion and wickedness, how I have judged them. And the power that I've demonstrated just in the controlling of the seas of the world. And then look also not only at the negatives, but look at the positives. Look how I've blessed you over and over again. Folks, you and I ought to just look at the history of our God, how He has dealt with us when we rebelled, and how He has blessed us when we've obeyed Him. Look at that and learn from it. Even though God's blessed you like He has, look at verse 25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found, watch it. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. Who is that doing that? Who are these wicked men that Jeremiah is speaking of? God is speaking of. Drop down to verse 30. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And here's the saddest statement I know. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Oh, God, help us. The greatest enemy you have, the greatest enemy I have, the greatest enemy this world has, and don't even know it, the greatest enemy your children have, your grandchildren have, and mine have, are these lying preachers, these false prophets, who stand and say, thus saith the Lord, when God didn't say a word to them. That's a mouthful. To stand up and say, God told me. You better make certain God told you. Or don't you say make such a statement. And that's what I want to say to a lot of these men in our pulpits today. Listen, folks. I believe God has His designated men in this world, Brother Richard. I believe that God calls men to preach. And He appoints them to different ministries. And I believe that there are churches that have God's men in them, and they are preaching the truth of God. But I also believe that there are some men who have intruded the pulpits. God didn't call them. God didn't send them. It's more of a career move for them. And I want to tell you, these kind of men, for the most part, watch which way the money wagon goes. And they fall in behind it. Because that's all they care about. And I've said it time and again, and I'm going to say it again today. God don't want, or those men don't want their congregations to love God. They want their congregations to love them. They don't want those congregations to follow God. They want those congregations to follow them. And those kind of men who are not called by God, Brother Barney, are at best motivational speakers. Professional motivational speakers. They are men who have been trained in psychology. And they know how to reach the emotions of people. But friends, when you're dealing with the soul of a man or the soul of a woman, you got to get a whole lot deeper than where the emotions end. You got to get down to the very core of their being. And the only thing that will penetrate to the core is the pure, unadulterated Word of Almighty God. Hebrews 4:12. Read it for yourself. Past the bones and the marrow all the way down. That's what people need. They don't need a motivational speaker. The people of our generation are looking around and they're seeing a mess. Every way they turn, they see a mess. Korea, Iran, and all the Middle Eastern areas. Washington, D.C., California. Every way you turn, people look and they see a mess. You know what they want when they go to church? They want to be motivated. They want encouragement. They want to be lifted up. But it could be that God wants us to look at reality and see it the way God looks at it. And maybe God would like for you and I to get sick of it like He does. Sick of sin. Maybe even to the point to where we would even want to be done with it too. Don't get me wrong. I understand that there's a time when God's people in particular need to be lifted up and do need to be encouraged. And I would like to be that kind of a preacher as well. But at the same time, I think we ought to still face the music for what's really being played and understand that God is angry with the wicked every day. That's what His Word says, Brother Barnes. Take him at His Word. What's the problem? Preachers. Who will not tell people the truth. Preachers who soft soap and soft pedal. And they'll take the same kind of words that you and I use, biblical words like born again and conversion and heaven and hell and holiness and Jesus and Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They'll take these same, they know how to speak the language. They've been around it enough. They know how to, but listen, just because a man says Jesus don't mean he's talking about the one that you and I believe in. Because again, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, you know, there's another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11, there's another Jesus. There's another Spirit. There's another gospel. And in Galatians 1, he said, which is not another, because there's only one true gospel, but there are counterfeits. It's a dangerous day. I had rather my children, now this is the way I feel about it, I had rather my children and my grandchildren not have any religion whatsoever than to have a false one. I'd rather my children and my grandchildren say to me, Dad, Papa, I know I am lost. I'd rather them tell me, I know I am lost, than to tell me, Papa, I believe I'm saved. But they're holding on to the wrong thing for hope. I figure as long as they can know that they are lost, there may be hope for them. But if they've got a hold of something, and it's got a hold of them, that is phony and as queer as a $3 bill, if they've got a hold of something like that, false doctrine, they're probably as sure for hell as the devil is. Because if they think that they're going, that that's going to take them to heaven, it'll be like trying to take candy away from a baby to try to get it away from them. It's better to have no peace than to have a false peace. It's better to stay at home than to follow a man who's on his way to hell and will lead you there too. You know, the Lord Jesus warned about the blind guides in His day. Don't forget, it was religious people who crucified Jesus. It was a people who boasted in their election that crucified Jesus. I want to emphasize this and I'll quit. I didn't no more need this outline than a man in the moon, I guess. Look again at verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. They're not hunting rabbits. These are hunters. They're not hunting rabbits. They're not trying to trap fox. Brother Ron. They're not hunting coons. Well, this is a different kind of realm. This is in the spiritual realm. And here are men and women who are hunting men. And they're setting traps. If I had a title, and I guess I do to this sermon, and here at the tail end of it, I give you the title. Satanic Soul Winners. Satanic Soul Winners. They're winning souls. Taking them to hell with them. Because the only possible way that anybody can enter the presence of a holy God is through the true gospel of the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Being religious is not enough. It's going to take the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. We are accepted only in Him. He is our only hope. All of the theatrics, this move from the sweet, sacred hymns of the church to the Grand Ole Opry type or the pot-smoking festival type. Sometimes you wonder, am I at church or am I at Woodstock? Am I at church or am I at the Grand Ole Opry? Am I at church or am I at the Comedy Barn in Pigeon Forge? Because a lot of those men are stand-up comics. And that's all they are. And that's the reason people love it, because people love to be entertained. We've got to preserve the atmosphere at Welcome All. No matter how thin we get, how few we get, we've got to preserve an atmosphere where the Spirit of God is welcomed to come in and won't be grieved with us, so it would bar him from coming in. Maybe you think I'm overstating it today. I don't know. You know, I preached a few years back on understating hell, because I believe no matter who stands up and preaches the wrath of God, we all understate it. We never tell it to the degree that it should be told, because hell is worse than anybody can tell. I don't think I'm overstating this subject, this truth today. I think this is the mess we're in. That's where we are in our present generation. God help us. May God deliver us in such a time as this. Well, we'll stop right there, okay? I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to say to you. And so, having said it, I'm done.